Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence today. Lord, for what you've already done in the lives of the people. We know that you've already done that. You're a God that transforms hearts and minds and souls. And God, we know that you're a miracle-working God. Lord, even sometimes we don't have to lay hands on people, oh God, for you can speak your word. And we, our souls may be made well. And I thank you for that faith. I thank you for that principle that you've given us, Lord. We give you praise. Give you honor and glory. Watch over your word to fulfill it, Lord. Lord, that your people receive something that is important for them, for the day and for the week and for the month. And even, Lord, for the life and the walk with you, God. Hide me from the people as you've always done. And I pray, God, that your word will not fall to the ground, that it will accomplish everything that you have purposed for it, that it shall not come back void, oh God. Thank you for the hearts of your people today that have been molded and shaped by the power of the Holy Spirit, that can be transformed, oh God. Hearts that are made of flesh and not stone. Lord, if there's stone in the heart of man today, I pray that you will change the heart of stone into the heart of flesh, that you yourself can mold and shape and make it into your image and what you created for the purpose. We give you praise, we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. It is, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Praise God. Wonderful presence of God today. Sometimes you go through stuff like that and you just don't want to preach. You just want to receive from God and go home. Amen. But you know, there's an obligation to be fulfilled in the church, and a word has to come. And I pray that this word will touch your heart, or change your mind, or change your direction in life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Smile to your neighbor and say, welcome to church. That's why we come to meet new faces. It's just friends that you've never met. You just met them this morning. And we'd like to see ourselves as a family of God and not just friends. Amen. Hallelujah. Sunday school? Praise the Lord. The big wave coming from the back. The Sunday school has to go up. Let's all turn our heads towards our children and pray for them. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for our children. Thank you, Lord, that they're the church of tomorrow, the leaders of tomorrow. Lord, as such as their hearts are so innocent, oh God. That's why you spoke a lot about the children. And we pray that the same Holy Ghost that is present in us today is present in those little ones. And I pray, anoint the leaders, the teachers, give them the word, give them the anointing to be able to impart into the lives of our young people, our children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Word of God, Jesus said something really, really powerful, and something that really always transforms hearts, but it always stays in the heart for a long time because it's something that really stirs up in my spirit. And he said something, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done on earth. In Matthew chapter 5, our first scripture for this morning, verse 13, our Lord Jesus made this powerful statement. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. He spoke these words to his disciples in a sermon on the Mount, pointing to our calling to be a moral conscience as well as a holy preservative to the society that we live in. Amen? He used that analogy of salt because he knows that salt is a very powerful ingredient. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. And his message to us this morning is that we become a moral conscience for our society. Amen? We became a holy preservative for society that is in decay today. Look around you today in your society, in your community. Everywhere you look, the whole world is going corrupt. Bible says, so is in the days of Noah, it is going to happen as well today. So the whole world is going through a transformation period where it's going in full circle. We're coming back to the days of Noah, and right now, we are actually living in those days. And that's why we have to be a moral conscience for our community. We have to be a holy preservative like the salt that Jesus said we should be. Look around you now and you know that you are needed inside the community. You are needed inside society this morning. Yes, we can say we are the salt of the earth. We love that part of the scripture very much. We are. We can quote that. But then God even spoke and he says, but there a familiar word that he says, and the Lord's warning to us, the follow-up statement of that, and he says, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Oh my goodness, that's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We who were called to be a shining light in the darkness fail to shine. Hallelujah. We who were called to be prophetic voices to the world fail to preach to ourselves. We who were supposed to be proven different to be just as corrupt and carnal as the world today. I'm talking to the church this morning. Not this church. The overall church, the body of Christ. There are some places where now we have succumbed to the pressures of the world. And we're thinking carnally like the world now. And we're not supposed to do that. Jesus said, you have to be the salt. Hallelujah. So we who were supposed to bring heaven's values down to earth become as earthly as everyone else in this world today. And it's a warning to us, church. You know, the great falling away that we talk about happens suddenly when you are not expecting it to happen. That's why spiritual pride can be your greatest downfall. And the church is so fragmented because of the doctrine that creates division. And the world knows us for our division instead of our unity. Every time people talk about church, there's a division inside church. Oh, that church down the road. Oh, that church. All they can hear is negativity of division inside the church instead of unity. Hallelujah. Our hypocrisy rather than our holiness. Hello, somebody. And that's something that we must remember, that we must never take for granted our Christian walk before God or before man. Because our values have to be a standard higher than the world's values. Hallelujah. As a result, the name of our Lord has been mocked, and many have left the church. Many people don't like the setting of church because of Christians inside the church don't live morally. They live hypocritical lives inside the church. And the world is watching us every day, my friends. Hallelujah. The good news is that God gives grace to the humble. Oh, hallelujah. Confessing our sins and turning to him, he will forgive us. And if we seek him, we shall find him. And seeking him earnestly, he will answer from heaven, the Bible says, and he will have mercy, and he will forgive, and he will restore. God is quick to do that. Hallelujah. And if we're in that state, we need to always walk in forgiveness and repentance before God. And we talked about David, King David. The reason why he was called a man after God's heart, not is because he was a mighty warrior or he was some kind of a powerful king. No, he was a man that understood repentance. He's a man that always asks for forgiveness before God. He's a humble man that when he's done something wrong, he's always the first to say, I'm sorry. And that's what God says now. That's a man after my own heart. That's the grace of God that he allows us to be able to forgive one another and be able to walk in the place of repentance. And by his grace and mercy, we can regain our prophetic voices. Hallelujah. The church can regain the prophetic voices and the purpose of the church on planet Earth today through the place of repentance. It will take perseverance, my friends. In other words, it will take Christians living as Christians. That's what God requires of us this morning. And as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. That's the scripture right there on the wall. Praise God for our sister Judy when she put it up there. I went, praise God. Hallelujah. That's prophetic. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket or on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. God has called us to be different in the best sense of the word. in the true sense of the word, to stand out as salt and light because of the grace that works through us. Hallelujah. Nobody has that. You and I have. We are the elite. Salt, God separate us and says, you are the elite. Set the standard. Your standard, my standard, has to be kingdom standard. That's why Jesus always lifts the standard up, away from man's own standard. That's why he says, you have heard that do not commit adultery. But Jesus lifted that standard up another level to the kingdom standard, and he says, even if you just what? Look. Now that's our standard. That's a standard that you and I, who are called by his name, should stay. And that's just not in that script, in that sense. In every part of your life, that has to be the standard. You have to make that choice. Hallelujah. To be different from those that are around you. Hallelujah. To the extent that we live our faith in the days ahead, we can regain our voices. That's very important. Somehow, even defying nature, and we can become salty again. Oh, hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, get salty again. You need to be salty again. Set your standards high. Hallelujah. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. We sang about him today, and I also thank you, Pastor Jason, for singing about this person called the Holy Ghost. Because we talk about Jesus and we talk about God, and we forget about the Holy Spirit. He's the one that lives inside of us today. He's the power that transforms the hearts of men. Hallelujah. I believe in the mission of this church. I praise God and I thank God that Pastor Bill came last week to visit us. It was a surprise visit. He didn't want anyone to know. He just wanted to come and do what he didn't do when he left. And it was like a closure for most of us, you know, to be able to connect with him again. But in heaven, you know, like I said, in heaven, the mantle has shifted. The baton has been passed. Everything has shifted. The anointing shifted. Everything. Heaven's gone ahead with everything. And we're just flowing with heaven. Hallelujah. But what he did last week was very significant for all of us. As the papa of this church and the founder of this church, he came back to check the church. And he was very impressed and very blessed. And I said, well, we being great takes nothing away from you. Hallelujah. You being great takes nothing away from me. That's the kind of attitude we must have for each other. Help each other to grow every time. Amen? No one should be stagnant and left behind. You see a brother or sister down there, grab him and says, come on, let's run. Let's walk together. Let's do this together. I talked about the geese, the flock of geese that fly together. One leads ahead, breaks the wind, and everybody else... Not breaking wind, the other wind. Praise the Lord. Where did it come from? Breaking, you know what I mean, and allowing the others to fly smoothly inside that, what do you call it? There's a word for it. Where's Sean the pilot? What do you call those things? No one's helped me with this flying business here. Hallelujah. So it took one man, my friends. It took one man to stand firm to his true calling. In the midst of unbelief, misunderstandings, planned attacks against his life, and finally, the death on the cross. One man. One person. One man did that. One man who believed in his calling. One man who understood his purpose. That's why this morning, after I finish this message, I want to pray for those that God has actually placed the names in my spirit to pray for them. Because I know they have a greater purpose in God than they can ever realize. That is why I believe that you are in this church because you believe in your calling and your purpose that God has given you. Therefore, I believe that it will take one church, one man, one woman equals one church. There's not going to be a multitude. It's going to be a remnant of those who want to walk as a salt and the light in a decaying society today. Hallelujah. Therefore, I believe that it is you and I who are called to do this. There are other people called to do that as well, but you are in this church today, and I'm talking to you today. So when the people of God are of one mind and one spirit, one accord, it is a great recipe for revival. You know that? The book of Acts tells us about this. These are the blueprints of this of revival. That is why you have to look at your life and understand why you're still here. Look at yourself and say, why am I still here? You know, some of the greatest apostles of Jesus were born at the time they were born to be. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God brought Jesus in. The timing of Jesus being born, the timing of the government of Rome being there, the timing of the trading business that was there, because God knew that every person that in that marketplace was still going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ back when the fire came down. My friends, the pastors didn't take the gospel. The leaders didn't take the gospel. It's the merchants and the boy market sellers. As in PNG, you know, we call them the boy mama market sellers, you know. The mamas on the side of the street selling betel nut or whatever they're selling, whatever thing they're selling. Those are the ones that got filled by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the priest. It wasn't even the disciples. It was the local and normal person just like you and I that received the Holy Ghost that day and transported it to wherever they came from, because Rome created nice roads for trading. The ship was sailing. There was peace around Jerusalem and around the region at that time. And Jesus and God says, now is the time to bring Jesus in. Hallelujah. Man, if you study that, it will totally blow your socks off. How the timing of God is always the best timing. That's why he says, in the fullness of time, he will do something. And that's why we must never grow weary of doing good in the church, being inside the church, walking in the kingdom of God, walking in holiness and righteousness, continue to be the salt and the light of the earth. We never can get tired of doing that. Hallelujah. You know, Papa Bill brought the word on the manna. Sometimes we get in a place of complacency, and we say, oh, you know, we've had that before, or we've done this before, or we've done this before. But God is a God of new every time. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Wow, that is a powerful, powerful promise. Every generation was assigned by God to contribute a portion of his overall ultimate assignment. You were born to be something in the kingdom of God. You were born and sitting in this room today to be a partaker of the gospel. You're not here to just warm pews and receive good messages from the pastor and go out. No, you are more involved in what is happening around us today. That is why it is important to know that the generation that you are in now, and I pray on the prayer meeting, pray for our young people. Pray for the children that are now born into this season. Their life is, they don't know about these things. This, all this craziness that's happening now, things that they're imparting inside in the school, trying to brainwash kids that their gender, that they can just pick a gender whenever they feel like. That's sickness in the society. And that's why we must always pray for our children. Don't take for granted your children for one bit. Pray for them. Pray that they have a critical mindset that when they go, the Holy Ghost will teach them. The Holy Spirit will teach them. And know that what is right and what is wrong, hallelujah. There is something we are supposed to do who are alive now that is connected to the unborn generation. We are responsible, and I said it before, we are responsible for the unborn generation that's still coming. If the Lord tarries, we here today, we are responsible for them. Those babies that are still in the womb, that are still coming, that God talks about in Jeremiah 1:5, he says, even before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And they're still coming. They're still being born. And so we are responsible for them. And we must continue the good fight of faith and walk in that place that God tells us to walk. Hallelujah. There is something God wanted done that requires your existence now. Hello, somebody. And God expects you to do it and not get bogged down by your own private ambitions. Hello, somebody. Get involved in the things of God. Your private ambitions will come when you what? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All your private ambitions will be added unto you. And that's what we must focus on, of God's assignment for our lives. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. In other words, in him we live, we move around in our activities, and we even have our very existence. It's for his purpose that we live. It's for his very purpose that you and I are still breathing today. Get up in the morning and check my heart. Oh, God, thank you. I'm still here. Those are the things I'm very conscious about. Because God can take us anytime He wants. Hallelujah. And I get up in the morning and I feel that my heart's still pumping and I'm still healthy and I can still get up and walk. And I said, God, thank you. Thank you that you have a purpose for my life today. You got something for me to do today. That's why I'm still alive. Wow, if you think like that, you're going to be a powerhouse disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we are not here just to pay bills and finish a mortgage and, you know, kind of eat good food and nice dress and, you know, the clothes we wear. Praise God. Those are the fruits of the blessing that comes with us. But God didn't give us that. God has a specific purpose for us. And we're here because there's something in this space called time. Hallelujah. Our generation needs to fulfill. And time is running really fast. When you understand God's assignment for your life, that's all you want to do. I said to Elijah when I was sharing with him, I said, you know, it takes one walk of faith to stand up and go, I'm going to do this. And then the hunger for that, after that, you'll be so caught up in the things of God that you would not want to go back to the place that you were. As long as you stay in a place of stagnancy and you stagnate and go, oh, you know, it's not, I wasn't called to do this. You stay there. You'll stay there forever. But you've got to break this cycle. You've got to get up and say, you know what? I'm going to do something different today. And I asked Pastor Joe, I said, Joe, can you do communion? He says, yes. Praise God. Now something's going to happen in his life. Anybody that I call to do something, when you say yes, God's going to get all of heaven behind you. All of heaven come and stand before you and behind you when you say yes. Sometimes you don't have to know so much. You can only know a little bit. And God is the one that will give you the words to say. The revelation knowledge. The spirit, the innermost part of God himself, he will bring to us. And he will teach us his word and understand the spirit of discernment to discern the word of God the way it's supposed to discern. But this little step of faith will trigger something inside of you. And you will never be the same. I guarantee you that. Absolutely guarantee you that. When you say yes, when a word comes or something, I ask you to do something, you go, yes, you watch God do something in your life. You watch the whole of heaven stand with you. Hallelujah. The moment you say yes, God says, oh, he said yes. Come on, heaven, let's go. And the whole of heaven, the fullness of the Godhead, hallelujah, that lives in heaven is behind you in everything you do. Please understand that, my friends. We can do greater things in God when all of us think like that. Hallelujah. And the word in Ephesians chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Guess whose season it is today? You and me. Hallelujah. That is our season today. There's a time for us to do something great in God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 to 4 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything, my friends, everything. Everything that you ask for, God has already what? Blessed you with. But he's already waiting for you to get up and say, I'm going to do something about this. The word has had or had in the past tense, it means that God has already supplied everything that you would need to fulfill your purpose. That's that word. It means that. It says he had already blessed you, so you've already got that. So it just needs you to what? Get up and go and do it. And heaven, oh, hallelujah. I can see this picture now. That heaven is just waiting for you and I to get up and say, we're going to do this. And then God says, all right, here we go. There's one. There's another one. There's another one. They're all standing up. Come on, heaven. Let's get behind them. Let's get this thing going. Hallelujah. That means you have to begin to do what you were born to do so that you can activate the resources in heaven. Heaven cannot give you resources if you sit down on your backside and just wait for it to happen. It doesn't happen that way. God is not a Santa Claus in our everyday life. Everything that we ask for, there is a purpose why it's given to us. And we have to understand that every time. Why am I driving a nice car? There is a purpose for it. Why am I living in a good house? There is a purpose for the good house. A good house means you set up a home group and get the church firing inside the good house. Hallelujah. Driving a good car, There's a purpose for driving a good car. Having a good, nice body and six-pack, there's a purpose for a six-pack. Some of us have one pack. There's a purpose for that too. Hallelujah. We keep putting that in there. Praise God. So everything has a purpose. God has already given us that. That means you have to begin to do what you were born to do, my friends. Verse 4 tells you why. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be what? Holy and blameless before his sight. Now that's a condition that comes with all his goodness. He says he chose you to be what? Holy and blameless. Jesus Christ is our holiness. You don't have to strive to be holy. You let him be holy. He lives inside. If you've got the Spirit of God inside of you, he's your holiness. And you have to allow him to be shining like the salt, or the tasting like the salt and shining like the light in everywhere we go. You can't be righteous and you can't be holy. Only God can do that for you. But when you align yourself to his word, align yourself in a right standing with God, that's what righteousness means. When you actually stand right next to God and align yourself with God, that's right standing. That's what righteousness is all about. And you and I can do that. Easy. Why? We talked about the willpower of God. He's giving you the will to choose from, right or wrong. And just in case you mess up, he gave us the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And now we have no excuse. Because the Holy Ghost will be screaming at you if you're doing something wrong. You know your heart's going to be pounding. You're trying to get this thing, it doesn't belong to you. And the Holy Ghost says, that's not yours. Or you tell a lie and the Holy Spirit says, that's a lie. If you have that conscience in your heart, you're still sharp for the work of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. So God didn't just choose you lately. You were not chosen when your mother and your father decided to have you. You were chosen before your father even thought about you. Your mother even thought about you. That's the word Jeremiah 1:5 says. So don't get too uptight about where you came from. Children, if your parents are not good parents, praise God. Thank them and says, thank you for bringing me into this world. Now let me leave my purpose in God. Amen. People get uptight about the kind of families they come from and all this because they don't understand the purpose of God in their life. But when you have that, thank God for your father and your mother. And then tell your father and your mother, thank you. I don't want to leave your dream. I want to leave my dream, which is God's purpose for my life. Amen. Thank God for the way he brought you in. And move on. Hallelujah. If they don't come to church, praise the Lord. Thank God for them. You come to church. If your families don't come to church, thank the Lord. You come to church. If your husband don't go to church, thank the Lord. You come to church. If your wife don't come to church, you thank the Lord. You come to church. Hallelujah. God is the one that transforms lives. We must fulfill the vision so that the mission that we are about this church will be accomplished. Amen? God's purpose will be always fulfilled if you are a person that understands vision. If you're a person that understands vision, God will fulfill his will on this earth today. And when someone chooses courage in the face of overwhelming obstacles, their decision inspires us. Look at Jesus, what he did. When he chose to go on that cross, that decision got you and I inside this room today. Hallelujah. It inspires us. It took Jesus every ounce of strength in his body to say those words, nevertheless, your will be done. And that's really the word for this morning is nevertheless, let your will be done. Marriage is not going well, nevertheless, let your will be done, God. Your relationship is not going well. Nevertheless, let your will be done, God. Jesus broke through all that. Every temptation, every ounce of his strength, the pain that he had, everything he had to break through and says, nevertheless, God, let it be. Let your will be done. He even asked his father three times. He says, is there a way we can do this? Is there another way that this cup can be passed from me? And God says, God didn't answer him. He answered it himself. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. When someone chooses courage in the face of overwhelming obstacles, their decisions inspires the rest of us. And I keep thinking about this Manly 7. seven young men that chose, I'm telling you, that's a big statement. They don't even have to preach the gospel. They just have to refuse that rainbow flag and get persecuted by it from the world. But the word came and it says, nevertheless, let your will be done on this earth, even if we have to not play that Sunday. Man, I love those guys. I really respect them for their decisions. And it's coming, my friends. It is coming, and we must be the people that are nevertheless kind of people. His disciples were asleep and did not hear his agonizing surrender to God. Even Jesus or the Holy Spirit revealed to them these decisions. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. It says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Can we become like that? Because that man called Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, our high priest, sitting right now on the right hand side of the Father, made a decision that inspires you and I today. That radical tribe of people that are peculiar people that are inside this room today, that are different from the world, that are salt and the light of the world, inspired by this one man when he says, nevertheless. Amen. It takes the nevertheless kind of faith to serve Jesus, my friends. When the crowds turn from Hosanna, Hosanna, to crucify him. It takes that kind of faith. It takes a nevertheless kind of faith to follow him when other disciples forsake him. When the people left, he turned around to his disciples and he says, are you going to leave too? And the disciples, praise God for them. They said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Those words really, really, really hit me in the spirit every time. God, where am I going to go? You have the words of life. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, the cross reminds us of the finished work of Calvary, that my sins were forgiven, like we sang this morning, that I have been bought at a price, that I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But the most important thing that happened before all that was that nevertheless statement that Jesus made. That is a statement that is so powerful. When he said nevertheless, heaven stood up. Heaven all stood up. All those that have died and gone before all stood up and said, here we go. Something is about to happen. Hallelujah. And we get excited about that all the time. When I first came to Christ, I was so excited about that. And then as days go by, we become like people in the desert complaining about the manna all the time. We should never complain about the manna that God is giving us. Hallelujah. We should always appreciate what we have and what we receive and what we are today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it is the nevertheless kind of people that will win spiritual battles. See, for me, the spiritual battle was already won in that Garden of Gethsemane. And I like it when Pastor Evelyn always cry out when she prays. And she prays particularly for the Garden of Gethsemane. And you understand that. That was where the decision was made for us. Right there in that garden, when one man said, nevertheless, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that's the real victory. And church, God is looking for that nevertheless kind of people today. The purpose of this message today is to stay your spirit, get you going and saying, I have to become one of those people. It takes one person. God is waiting for one person. God is not interested in an army of people, one person. And just imagine that it's every one of you sitting in this room today, the one person that God is looking at. Now that's a army already, the army of nevertheless people, hallelujah. In God and do greater things in God. Let us remember that before the cross, our sins were already forgiven in the Garden of Gethsemane. That is why when you say yes, my friends, heaven is behind you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Hallelujah. And God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. When I say that, I look at me and I look at you. We are foolishness in the eyes of the world. The world look at us and say, look at these foolish people. But he uses that to shame the world. And then he uses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Hallelujah. God doesn't give you everything you qualify for. God does not give you free gifts. He's not, like I said before, he's not a Santa Claus. It's the purpose of why he gives it to you. That's why the Bible is full of words like if and when. If And when you will what? Obey me, then I will what? Bless you, he says. There's something you have to do before your blessing comes, and that is obeying God. Hallelujah. All these come hand in hand together in our walk with Christ. Doesn't change. Doesn't matter who you are. Obedience is the true language of love for God. Jesus said, if you love me, then he says what? Obey my commandments. Amen. You show God that you love him by walking in obedience to his word. Nothing else. You don't have to force yourself to feel like you love somebody. No, obey his word. Simple. Obey his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus did not quit on us, my friends, family. He never did. He didn't quit on his assignment. He says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me, away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Say nevertheless. Tell your neighbor, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Whatever we go through, nevertheless. Hallelujah. We're going to stand strong for Jesus. We're going to shine like the light, the living light church. Hallelujah. We're going to become the salt of the earth, oh God. That we're going to continue to be that salt that preserves righteousness, preserve holiness, holy preservative, hallelujah, for the kingdom of God. Jesus teaches us to be careful not to lose the flavor of our Creator, our Abba Father. Most of the salt used in Israel was full of impurities. And the impurities can change the flavor of the salt. That's why it's easy to lose your saltiness when you get impurities in your heart. Jesus used all these little words like that, and analogies like that to explain simple gospel of Jesus Christ on what we should understand. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he's a scientist too. He created it, so he knows you better be like that. Amen. If you're not like that, you lose every saltiness in you, and you become useless. And the Bible says what? And you are trampled underfoot by man. And that's what happens when the church loses its saltiness. If we lose the Holy Ghost, we will be trampled on. We'll become a clubhouse for those people that become so bless me club. There's no power of God anymore inside the church to transform the hearts of men. We become like that. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 teaches us that it says, let your speech always be as grace, as truth seasoned with salt, so that you will know you should respond to each other. Now he's talking about you and I having salt in our speech. Yes. And he talks about love for one another. Hallelujah. Paul used the same Greek word for salt in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Preserved and flavored salty speech. Have a preserved and salty speech to your neighbor, to your husband, to your wife. You tell your wife, hey, I got a very good preserved and salty word for you. Your life should be like that. To each other. Amen. And Jesus said, when we do that, all men shall know that we are his disciples. Amen. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, kind of people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 explains salt draws out the good flavors subtly hidden inside the food and preserves what would be otherwise spoiled, as do those who claim to be the children of God. You see, I was talking to some of my brothers and I said, this life of the kingdom, you cannot pretend to be a Christian. You cannot. It's impossible to pretend to be one. It is impossible to just be a name Christian. That is a lifestyle you live. It is serious lifestyle that we live. We live like salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what we are because of the presence of God in us. And I'm going to give you some great insights of that before I close this morning. What we must understand is this, that we are filled with the glory and the light of God. When the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, and Joy, I gave you those scriptures there to put on the board. I don't know if you got them on live stream, but it's really powerful. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Stop for a minute and think about this. Think about who is living inside of you today. If you're a born-again Christian, transformed by the power of God, born inside out by the blood and water, hallelujah, by spirit and water, having the Holy Ghost inside of you, then salah and pause and think for this for a moment. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God that the Spirit of God dwells in you. He used the word naos. Where's now? Beautiful word. He uses the word naos, N-A-O-S, for the temple, which always referred to the Holy of Holies. He was literally saying, don't you know you are the Holy of Holies? Wow. This is God. This is the word of God to us this morning. Paul's saying, don't you know you are that person? You are the Holy of Holies? Naos means the presence where God dwells. He was literally saying that. And the word dwells is taken from the Old Testament word shakan, H-A-K-A-N, shakan, which what Shekinah comes from, which means dwelling or abiding or dwelling, and the glory of God in the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Naos, which is the Holy of Holies. And the word dwell is taken from the Old Testament word shakan. Paul was saying that in Christ, the Shekinah glory of God now shakans in us. We are the Holy of Holies. It's the place where God dwells and lives. Not in the building anymore. It's a great place for us to come and worship. But we are all temple of the Holy Ghost, coming together in one place to worship the Almighty Creator together. And He lives in us. Just think about that for a minute. It's so powerful. Hallelujah. And in 1 Samuel chapter 4, you can read it on your own. And 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12 to 19, it talks about that glory. So we are the new Holy of Holies, a temple of the living stones, not made by hands, but by God Himself. That's why we have to be born again. You cannot live this life of Christianity just with a name tag. You are the Holy of Holies. You carry the presence of God with you everywhere you go. When you walk into the office, God is in the house. Hallelujah. When you walk into the school, God is in the school. When you walk into your job interview, you go with God. You are in there talking. God is talking, hallelujah, through you. Why? He lives in you. When you have that kind of mindset, nothing will stop you from achieving everything that God has purposed for your life. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 67, it says this way. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, saucepans, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are saucepans that carry His presence. So the excellence of the power is not from us, it's from God. He gets all the glory when somebody comes, gets healed. He gets all the glory when your prayers are answered for your new job. Hallelujah. He gets all the glory when He restored your marriage, restored your relationship with your children and your wife. He gets all the glory when you forgive somebody and somebody forgives you. All that is done because of the presence and the glory of God inside of you. That's why he says that, and the earth shall be filled with His glory. It's not some smoke or steam. It's you. Amen. You carry the glory of God. And when you're together, it says, the earth is full of my glory. Hallelujah. Because you carry that glory. Yeah. It's not some steam or cloud that's coming down, or fire by night and cloud by day. No, not anymore. It lives inside of you. So you are the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. If you think about that, Israel carried the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence and the glory of God, into battle. Joshua chapter 6, verse 6 talks about that. These are battle scriptures. He says, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. Hallelujah. They're carrying God's presence with them. Numbers chapter 10, verse 38 says, so it was whenever the Ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. My friends, it is not carrying the Ark of the Covenant anymore. You have Him living inside of you. You are the Holy of Holies that walk around with the Spirit of God inside of you. And you can claim those battle scriptures when you walk into any place. Walk into the hospital. Walk into your schools. Pastor John, walk into that place where they're confusing the children with all this LGBT rubbish. Walk in there with those scriptures and say, let your enemies flee from you. Hallelujah. Those are battle scriptures. Why? You have him inside of you. Psalm 68 verse 1 says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. Wow. Why? You walk with there with those scriptures and claim those scriptures and talk. Let your enemies flee from you, Lord. Why? Because you're here now. Hallelujah. When you have that kind of mentality, you are a candidate for revival inside this city. Hallelujah. Friends, these are warfare verses. That same presence and the glory now abides in us. And the message we are to understand is that the key to victory is carrying his presence of God with us to battle every time. Amen. When you walk in there, you are not alone anymore. You don't have to be worried about people saying things about you. Man, I get criticized, and people send me terrible messages, and praise God. People hate you when you're talking about God's righteousness and holiness. And you know, the worst thing about it is, my friends, it's that it's not from the world. It's from Christians. Christians are our worst enemies in battling each other, throwing stones at each other. You know, and most of my critics come from there. Whether they're real Christians or they're just name title Christians, I don't know. But they always throw stones at you when you try to bring the righteousness. See, the moment you preach righteousness and holiness, you make your enemy, you're like the target sign in Ken Central. The moment you talk about righteousness and holiness of God, the target is on you. You might as well put a target like that on you and walk around. Buy a target shed with the target on you. Because that's what you'll be. You'll be just a target for everybody. People don't like their sin. People are happy with their sin in church. And if you bring this kind of word to them, it's an uncomfortable place to be. They either leave church or they find someone else or somebody don't talk about their sin or somebody don't deal with sin. But here, my friends, we don't want to be hypocrites. I don't ever want this church to become a church of hypocrites. And you and I make up the church. And we must never, never be hypocrites inside the church. That we do one thing and then we do the other thing. You know, integrity is doing the right thing when no one is watching. When no one's watching, do the right thing. Amen. That's integrity. Amen. No one may be watching, but God is watching you. I tell my children all the time. Yeah. I say, you can lie to me. You can tell me you're going there, but don't lie to me because the Holy Ghost is watching you. Yeah. He will convict you. I tell them straight. And they feel it in the bones. They feel it right there when I tell them that. So you can lie to me now, but God's going to tell me about what you're doing. Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's better for you to tell me the truth now and don't lie to me. Hallelujah. And be like David. Fall into God's hands and fall into man's hands. David understood the grace of God. And he says, God, don't let me fall into my enemy's hands. You discipline me. You correct me. You teach me. You give me a little bit of a belt up the backside. You do that, God, not my enemies. And that's what I tell my children. Let God deal with you. Don't let me deal with you. Otherwise, the bell will come out. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 60, my last verse. Verse 1 to 3 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. And the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Oh, hallelujah. The brightness of your lighting paraphrases that we must boldly release the power of the Most High God into situations, allowing the victory of Christ to have access to that place. Because it's not you that changes anything. It's his victory that I must have access to every problem that you and I have. He has given us his light, praise God. He has given us his word, and he has given us his name, the name that is above all name, hallelujah. And in that name called Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. My friends, that is the declaration of the light that lives in you. And in his name, hallelujah, every knee will bow. Amen.
Every knee. The demons will bow before that name. The demons know the power of that name. And he's given us that name to use in battle. Hallelujah. He said, go and use this name. In my name, hallelujah, the dead shall be raised. In my name, the blind shall see. In my name, the sick shall be healed. Hallelujah. That's that name. So my friends, be a salt. Don't let that salt become some sugar or something. Salt is a great preservative for God's righteousness and holiness in our life. And he talks about that this morning. That's what I wanted to bring to you this morning. I know all of you strive to walk in that place. Paul says, beat yourself into subjection. When there's temptations or when there's things that are not slowing you down in your walk with God, he said, beat yourself. Bite him you in there. Give him you something like when I'm kind of, hit up him you. Hallelujah. That's for the Papua New Guineans. Because we have the obligation. Amen. God has already done the hard yaka. The work has been done on the cross. We sing about it all the time. But whilst you and I are on this earth, we have an obligation to fulfill. And that is to walk as salt and light in righteousness and holiness before God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. I want you to stand. And I want to pray for people that God placed in my heart to pray. Willie, can you come? Elijah, can you come? Is Pony here? He's upstairs. Pony, can you come, please? As I was preparing this message, the Lord was dropping those names to pray for them. And so I want to pray for you. There are times when you think that you don't have a big part to play in the church. But God has other plans and purpose for you. You may think, oh, I'm just supporting. That's what I used to do. I used to think, oh, I'm just a support person behind Pastor Bill. I'm just going to be that person in the background and not take up too much responsibility. But I believe that as I was preparing this word, God dropped those names, and I thought, God, I'm going to go and pray for these boys. Because there's something in them that inspires me and blesses me with the kind of support that they give in little things, a phone call. And that's why I feel that these are significant men inside the church. And they are men's leaders in the church. Amen. As well. So if you're a man here this morning, these are your leaders. These are men that will be running our men's leadership. So pray for them. They need your prayers. Amen. So I'm going to pray with them today. Digby, I want to pray for you to come. This man left his house, his family, drove 4,000 kilometers from Perth to come here. He rang me up and says, Pastor, I'm coming to stand with you. You know, my prayer was, God, send workers. Send good men. Send good people that have a passion to serve you. Because this job is not one man's job. It's hard pastoring a church. Because you deal with people every time. But when you have men like this, that are, especially my brother, resigned from his job, left his wife in his house, and said, I'm going to Cairns to serve with Pastor Bill. Wow. Can anyone do that? Now, that's God's call in his life. All these young men standing here. This young man left his family in Melbourne, came to here because he wanted to serve in the church. Because he says, in Melbourne, I've been wasting my time. I'm not serving my purpose in Melbourne. And I said, you're right. Now you're here. Now you have to serve your purpose. And so these are the young men that I want to pray for this morning. Papa Joe, you here? Where's the oil? Hallelujah. I want all you to reach out as well as we pray for them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. But, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit to discern correctly. We thank you that you have brought men, young men, that have come into the house to serve. Lord, they may look insignificant in the eyes of others. Lord, maybe because they're not Bible college trained or they're not trained by a pastor. or they don't come from that place that they look like they're men of God. But God, you don't look at the heart of men. And Lord, the prophecy that came that you will bring sons into the house that will be raised inside the house. Lord, these are the sons that you brought to be raised inside the house. Hallelujah. Praise God. While I'm praying, I want to pray for Golota, your son. Your son. Come. Son, come here. God's got a call in your life too. Praise God. I like your spirit. I love that beautiful spirit that you have. God's got a great call in your life. Hallelujah. I'm still looking. God is still searching. Hallelujah. Chairman, come. Come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, before you stands young man. Yes, Lord. God, that you have brought into the house. And Lord, in their gifts, in every little place where they think they're insignificant, that they say, I'm not ready for anything. Lord, you don't look at that. When you call Samuel, he was just a teenager. When you called David, he was just a young man. When you called Gideon, he was just an insignificant man in the eyes of the world, oh God. But you never looked at that. You always look at the heart. You always look at why they were born. For your word says in Jeremiah 1:5, even before they were in their mother's womb, God, you knew them. Appointed them, Lord, to become prophets, pastors, preachers, musicians, whatever gifts that they have, you have brought them into this house. And Father, as we lay hands on them today, God, I thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for the same anointing that you have placed in my life. God, I now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I lay my hands on these young men, Father God, and release that anointing by faith, that they are able to take up that yoke, take up that baton, and run with it, oh God. That nothing will stop them. Nothing will come before them. That the salt they become will never go tasteless. God, that the light will shine just like the city on the hill. Hallelujah. That they become men of righteousness. Men of right standing, oh God. Mighty men of valor that will take on the job. Take on the work. Take your presence, oh God, into the battlefield. Wherever they are, Father God. Inside their workplace, oh God. Lord, as they go, Lord, you go before them. You walk with them, oh God. And every part, every set, their foot that they set foot on, oh God, that they can claim it for you. They can claim it for the kingdom of God, hallelujah. That whosoever comes before them, whosoever comes behind them, and then stand on that ground, they become righteous, they become saved, transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you live in them, oh Lord. Father, I thank you that these are the Holy of Holies, the temple of the Holy Spirit that carries your presence wherever they go. Lord, we just anoint them and release them, oh God, in the ministry, in the ministry facets, everything that they have come in to do. God, anoint their hands for warfare. And Lord, I thank you that everything they do, you build it up. Build it up, oh God, that whatever you build, no man shall destroy. No man shall shut those doors that you open. And no man shall open those doors that you shut. And I pray, Father, today that you shut down every door in their life that doesn't belong to them, that doesn't belong to their purpose, oh God. And you open up every door that was meant for their life, hallelujah. Open in Jesus' name, hallelujah. I pray for the families, oh God, for the children. I pray for your blessing upon them. Their families is restored, oh God. I pray for their relationship, oh God, with their wife, oh God. Strengthen, Father, during this time. That they can stand together, that their wives know that they are the helper. They will stand with them, oh God, in times of trouble. That they become a man of nevertheless. Nevertheless, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, nevertheless, let this man become the nevertheless breed of warriors that will serve you faithfully. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Golota, come. Golota, and we want to pray for you and release you back to PNG. Golota is traveling back. Praise God. She missed her little hometown in Alatau. She came to me and says, Pastor, please, can you pray with me and release me? I said, of course you're released. But let's do it before the church as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this couple. Thank you for their life, for the service, oh God. Lord, that both of them, oh God, have served faithfully in this church. And Lord, as they prepare to go home, Lord, to go and visit family, but you know the reason why you're bringing them there. And I pray that whatever they do, whatever they decide to do, that you will always be the one that will lead them and guide them. That they will, as we heard from Pastor Bill, speak to the rock. And the rock will open up those doors that are meant for you. I pray that they will continue to speak to you, the rock of their salvation. I pray, go before them, guide them, oh God, in every situation. Let them prosper, Father God, whether it's in business or everything that they have, properties that have been kept there, Lord, let them prosper. Prosper them, Father God, so that they become a blessing to the kingdom of God, to others around them, to the church, to their families. But I pray that you watch over them and keep them safe, Lord, over their lives. Shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything restored, made whole, well, and complete by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in them. Guide them, bring them over there. And Lord, at times when they come back, that we will receive them with gladness and joy. But Lord, bless them. Watch over them. Keep them safe. In the palm of your hands, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm done. And if you need some prayers after, please come and see me and we can pray with you. But I'm going to close the service and release everybody. I know you got that nice roast sitting in the oven waiting for you. But next week we're calling a 21-day fast. Everybody fast and look like me. This body was built on rice and bully beef. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Papa, we thank you, Lord. Presence blow you today. We block, I'm worshiping you. We worship you in truth and in spirit. And Lord, we do that because we love you. And we thank you that your word has reached the hearts of your people and they're blessed today. Let them be blessed when they go out, blessed when they come in, oh God. I pray your word of prayer, the blessing of Moses over their lives, your prayer, that may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, peace, that there is nothing missing in your life, nothing broken in your life. Everything has been restored, made whole, well, and complete by the Spirit of God that lives in you, for you are the Holy of Holies, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.